Rowdy Waititi is in, the co-leader of the Māori Party. Nei rā, tamihi kia koe, Rowdy.
Nai, morena, morena, te ōtira, morena, tātou.
Good on you. Hey, listen, I was kind of expecting a shoebox arriving in Tamaki Makaurau, but it didn't arrive. With some sort of size 13 yeah, MJs. Man. I don't know what happened.
I must have sent it to the wrong Tamaki.
Oh, okay. Brian Tamaki's got size 13 feet too.
Yes, Brian. I think I did send it to the wrong Tamaki. And I can charge him double because he's got more money than both you and I.
Good on you. It's great to catch up with you. Okay, so we've got mandatory situations and three waters, all sorts of things. Mm. In the mix. Starting with the latter, three waters. It's going to be compulsory. It's being pushed through by Nanaia, the local government minister. What's the Māori Party view on this?
Well, until Māori proprietary rights and customary rights are recognised, we shouldn't be heading down any of this this type of legislation. So, you know, this is going to be the foreshore and seabed all over again for our people. Rights of Māori have not been recognised, and that's the discussion first and foremost that we should be having. That's the first thing. The second thing is many councils around the country do not want this three waters issue to go through. But again, this is what happens when you put a majority government in place to make decisions. They don't have to listen to any of us and just make those decisions. The third thing is that you have a look at headwaters and the relationship and the whakapapa, the intrinsic relationship and the whakapapa that we have with water, actually we are shared with other iwi. They're not in council or regional groups. So you look at the Te Rāwhiti and Te Whanaupuni for an example, is that you cut Ngāti Porou out where the headwaters are in the Raukumara, and you cut Whanaupuni out who get their same water sources from the same place. This is the issue that you could run into, is that you'll be making decisions for different parts of water bodies without having the acknowledging the intrinsic relationship that that many iwi hapu have with water. That's the first thing in a rural sense. In an urban sense, the same. And so, you know, you haven't had the conversation also with whānau who have been drawing their water sources from puna for hundreds of years. Where do they fit in this whole in the whole scheme of things? If you look at the Taupō River, Lake Taupō, you know, flows out to the Waikato River. You know, so what is the relationship there in terms of the free water stuff? And that's only our drinking water. And then you've got wastewater and the sewage stuff. So, you know, it's a huge discussion that we've been left out of. Māori have been left out of it. And I think this... Everything's becoming mandatory, looking like it, and this government is making decisions in isolation because they can. They are at full majority.
Onto the vaccine issue, the mandatory nature of it, the returning to school this time around of senior students, they're flagging that they might have primary schools returning. It seems very late in the year to bother about it. And we also have a sort of almost a fairground approach to the vaccination rollout for tangata whenua now, with giveaways, bells and whistles. Do you think that those who haven't yet been vaccinated probably never will?
I know. I think there are those who are still hesitant and actually afraid. They're mataku of this vaccination. And that's down to many who have been misinformed out there by, you know, doing most of their research on Facebook or social media, and not one has gone into a science lab or actually gone to talk to people who are in that particular space. And so, you know, this is what happens with the right fascists. They prey on our people and touch on the vulnerabilities of our people who have, and rightfully so, have a mistrust in the system. Because we've been burnt by it for many, many years. But, you know, this is the... I think there are many out there that are still undecided, many out there that are mataku. You know, I think eventually they will get vaccinated. And it's a matter of allowing us the time to have with our whānau, because the current government strategy for Māori has failed. And what happens is then a knee-jerk reaction is to then make it mandatory. The knee-jerk reaction is then to blame Māori leadership in those communities and Māori communities for not getting vaccinated because the government failed in its Māori strategy. The DHBs have failed us. Even their ministers have agreed to that. Even our own Māori ministers are blaming our Māori communities for not getting vaccinated. And so this is what we're up against. And so we need the opportunity to sit with our whānau to have that wānanga, to allow. Yesterday I went to Murupara, I just want to share this. I went to Murupara and vehicles were full of whānau. So whānau were moving as whānau. They weren't moving in age groups. They didn't say, well, 65-year-olds, you go in that car, and the rest, you know, the next age group, you go in this car. No, no. These were nannies and crowers who had their families in those cars getting vaccinated. They're mōpuna. And that's the opportunity missed here, is that they didn't allow communities, they didn't allow a by Māori for Māori approach. They wanted this monocultural approach to this vaccination rollout that the government had. They failed. And now what their knee-jerk reaction is now to make it mandatory and then start blaming those little small communities who have been ignored for many, many years and who are under-vaccinated and now vulnerable.
Thanks. You mentioned the poor performance over decades, generations by DHBs. I note that a special select committee has been set up to consider the Paiora Healthy Futures Bill, which passed its first reading this week. It would replace 20 district health boards with a national health service and also create the new Māori Health Authority. Did the Māori Party support this?
Absolutely. We were the only ones that went into this into the last election with that as part of our policy manifesto, to have an independent Māori health authority. And that's the key to this whole thing, is the independent part of it. A by Māori for Māori isn't by the crown to Māori, you know, with Māoris on it. This is not having chocolate sprinkles on the vanilla cake. We want a chocolate cake. And so the Māori Health Authority is supposed to be independent, and so we will continue to push in that particular space. But if you have a look at the Labour Party manifesto heading into this election, there were no promises. There wasn't even a mention of a Māori Health Authority. If you look at the Māori Party manifesto, we were pushing for an independent Māori Health Authority, and so we're very supportive of this. It's what it looks like and the powers of veto that it has in terms of making decisions for our people and ensuring that we get equitable resourcing and funding to be able to work in our high-risk and hard-to-reach communities that have been continuously ignored for many, many years, like the Muruparas, like the Mingi Nui's, like the Oportikis, and so on and so forth.
Thank you. Yesterday, of course, was the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It also was Te Paete Riri, or a day of remembrance for those lost in the New Zealand wars of yesteryear as well, but also coincided with a strange collection of people at the Mercer border and quite a gathering at Te Ti Marae. Hone Haruwira says that most were Pākehā, had no idea about tino o rangatiratanga or what the concept even means. What did you read into this grouping when you saw what their activities were coinciding with yesterday at Aori?
Oh, look, like I said, you've got these right fascist groups and their ideologies preying on our people and now using, you know, trying to use our people in those particular movements that they actually, what Hone said was absolutely right, that they know nothing about. I don't see any of those people in those particular spaces. And we talk about those Pākehā people waving the Declaration of Independence flag and the Tino Rangatiratanga flag, ever stand up for the rights of our people in the last 40 years. And so when you've got Hone Haruwira and them calling them out on their on how credible they are. You've also got Tamaiti doing the same, and it's Sykes doing the same. You know, these are the people who Moana, Maniapoto, and all those people out there. You know, this is just ludicrous. And so, you know, everybody should have the right to protest, but the timing is absolutely are ridiculous, and they're putting our people more at risk by going to march at a time where we still haven't got to a safe space in terms of dealing with Delta and COVID, living with it in our communities. Yeah, so I totally support Hone. The other thing is, Tino Rangatiratanga and Mana Motuhake is derived by the collective decision-making of your whānau, hapū and iwi. This is not about individualism. Mana Motuhake and Tino Rangatiratanga has never been about individualism. It's not about democracy. It's never, ever been about democracy. That is about coming together and and making decisions based on the greater good of your collective. And so if you're going up there to do a mana motuhake or tino ranga tiratanga march, who are you representing? Who has mandated you? Have you had that wānanga with your whānau? Is this your democratic right to go and march? Because that's a totally different conversation. If it's your democratic right to march, it's got nothing to do with mana motuhake and tino ranga tiratanga, because democracy and mana motuhake and tino ranga tiratanga are an oxymoron. They don't exist together in the same sentence, and so and the ideologies don't exist either. So our people got to start, ensuring that our systems and our movements have been used by people who have no idea about what the fundamental principles are of those taonga, like mana motuhake and tino ranga tiratanga.